coming up on Thunder Pop.
I'm auditioning in case they recast Lex Luthor for the future DC movies. I'm trying to be sinister so I can try to get in the conversation for Lex Luthor consideration.
Warner Brothers.
Come on. If you decide you want to recast Lex Luthor, if you're not happy with Social Network guy.
Steven's right here.
I'm ready to go, and I can do it. I can do this. I'm ready to... I'm going to work on my sinister voice, how it looks. Because now Lex Luthor is going to become kind of evolved by the time that he makes his second appearance in a DC film. It's going to be a little more sinister. And there's some tough competition on DC villains.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you got Jared Leto coming up in Suicide Squad. So, there's... I mean, you got a whole slew of... Great casting.
Suicide Squad
coming up. So, I don't know. That's a good thing about this. Even though Superman versus Batman, you know, didn't get the greatest critic reviews, they're going to turn around and they still got Wonder Woman. They're going to start filming the Justice League. They'll have Suicide Squad.
Here in a couple months.
So, on this episode, but that's in the DC thing, we're going to flip gears. We're going to flip the switch and we're going to go back to another one of our favorite topics on this show, a little Star Wars.
Yeah.
You can see the Millennium Falcon kind of zooming over our head and doing its little spin around. Already on the web, episode 8 leaks. Episode 8's not even coming as soon as we expected because it was pushed back. But we're going to talk a little bit of episode 8 leaks. J.J. Abrams was at South by Southwest and
Hi, I'm J.J. Abrams.
Of course, he's now already passed on the director's chair to Rian Johnson, but he's still talking Star Wars. And he covered something that I mentioned on this show. We had our reaction show, and we'll talk about that. We're gonna do a bum rush movie review because we just had a couple of superhero movies come out recently.
Right on.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
I'm curious what people out there. I don't care about these critics.
No, we want the working people.
Yeah, I want the working people's opinion. So I'm gonna pull up somebody's number from, we'll call maybe the Yellow Rose, and talk to like the door guy at the Yellow Rose and see if he's seen the movie.
There we go.
And see what he thinks about him. And he might curse me out or hang up on me, but well, that's part of the fun of live on record podcast. I was going to say live, but it was like, we're not live.
I think the way you keep him on the phone, just tell him it's like we're kind of a big deal.
Yes, that's it. You gotta hype it up. I gotta hype.
Like, you're going to be on MTV tomorrow if you do this review.
Oh,
with us.
that's what we do. We'll bullshit with them. We'll tell them, okay, I'm loving this.
Thunderpop, in association with D's Nuts Productions, got 'em.
So we're going to get into this. We, you know, critics, they were rocking the cock of Deadpool.
Oh, they loved it.
They loved them some Deadpool cock. They were riding that burnt up, shriveled in the fire.
Yeah, it looked kind of like a little smoky.
Kind of smoky cock. But then Batman vs. Superman came out and they pounced.
They did.
In a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much in a good way. The critics were not favorable. There were some that gave it better, more favorable reviews. I gave it a B-. I think you gave it a B.
B-.
Yeah. So we were in there. We're kind of in agreement that the critics pounced a little bit too hard. They were a little bit harsh. We also agreed it wasn't a perfect movie. So maybe listen, but we don't care what the critics say.
No.
I don't even give a shit what we say anymore. We're not really critics. We're more like analysts on this show than we are critics, I think.
Yeah.
We're willing to be fair. We're not gonna pounce on something.
Exactly. We're not Donald Trump.
Yeah.
By any means.
No, there's not going to be you know, going into a presidential debate and comparing dick sizes.
No, we're a show of the people.
Yeah, and there's no one worse that would rather have to compare dick sizes to is than some people people like Ted Cruz, which could, kind of the idea of Ted Cruz's private parts.
Not a good thought.
Pretty gross. Grandpa Munster's private parts.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I think I'd rather see Deadpool's burn up penis than Ted Cruz's Grandpa Munster penis. All right, so we're gonna do a bum. So yeah, like I said, don't care about what critics say about movies. Don't even care what we say anymore. I want to go out to the people,
yes,
and get their opinions. And I don't even want to ask them ahead of time and warn them. We just call them on the phone, randomly out of the phone book, and ask them for their bum rush movie review.
Yes,
and we're gonna try for either a Deadpool or a Batman versus Superman review because those were movies that came out most recently. And if all else fails, we'll just Instagram somebody. Comment, hey, give us a review real quick and post it on Instagram. No, okay, this is a test call, but it's actually working.
Fresh Plus, this is Kathy. May I help you?
Hi, Kathy. Is this Fresh Plus Groceries?
Yes,
okay, great. Hey, look, this is Thunder Pop. We're kind of a big deal.
I can't hear what you're saying, but
can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm the cashier. Who do you need to speak with?
Oh, well, real quick, I know you're busy. Do you have a line of people?
Do I what?
Do you have a line of people? Are you busy?
Yes, I do.
Okay, can I talk to a manager?
Just a moment.
I don't want to bother Kathy because she's got a line up. She's ringing up people at Fresh Plus. So we're going to... Okay, this is the first time we've been trying to figure out how to get a phone to work on this podcast where people could hear it. So this is sort of the first time I've used this. It's a... Rap. It's a LTI block, laptop interface. That's how I'm doing it. Okay, we're on hold, I think. Or we've been hung up on. We get a manager, they'll have a more time because they're not ringing up people.
Yeah.
They could ask us. It would suck if I called you while you were at Sprint Store and you were busy with a customer. You would not want to do a Bum Rush movie review either. You might put me on speakerphone and knock it out while you're... Because you're multitasking. You're a multitasker. You can.
I know all of them have seen it.
Well, we might. That might be our second effort. Okay, we're on hold. I don't hear. They don't have any of that elevator music that they play.
Yeah, I know. Fresh Plus.
Hello.
Jeff, can I help you?
Hi, Jeff. This is Steven from Thunder Pop. We're kind of a big deal. This show is going to be on MTV tomorrow. We have a question. We're doing Bum Rush movie reviews. Have you seen Deadpool or Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, I've seen Deadpool.
Okay, could you give us a little review on what you thought about Deadpool? What did you think overall? What do you give it a score? Like great, give it a grade. You know, A to F.
Yes, great. I guess A.
Give it an A.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay, great. Did you like? So you really like Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, I like. It was fine.
Yeah, the Deadpool guy. How about that girl? Yeah. The stripper. That's his girlfriend in the movie. She's a fox, isn't she?
But what was he trying to do?
Oh, this is a Bum Rush movie review. So we don't care about movie critics. Movie critics are biased. They're ready to just pounce on and criticize. We want people on the street like yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, what you think about the movie?
Grocery store manager. Oh,
okay. Do you all have plantains, by the way, while I've got you on the phone? I've been wanting to get some plantains. Do you have any in the produce section?
And it wasn't on plantains. My phone's been out. Plantains?
Yeah, do you sell plantains?
No, that we don't.
Oh.
Oh, bummer.
Could you carry plantains?
That's what we thought to the produce guy. He probably could.
Because I think plantains might sell.
I think so.
Yeah, I think. Okay, so you're on board with Deadpool. Did you see Batman versus Superman?
But is there anything else I got customers lined up here.
Okay, well, thank you, sir, for your Bum Rush movie review.
Oh.
Yeah, he was pretty excited, wasn't he? He was thrilled. Yeah. He was just, okay, we're going to do one more. I actually think it would be fun if we call the Yellow Rose, Exotic Men's Club, and see if we can talk to like a door guy. They won't put the actual stripper on the phone, but I think they'd be perfect to do a Deadpool movie review because there's a stripper kind of element to the movie.
Ask him, was that stripper realistic? Did that strip club look realistic?
Yeah, that's true because there's a strip club and a stripper in the movie. And then there's Deadpool, who would be kind of a dude that would hang out at a strip club.
Do y'all have any old guys running the DJ booth at the strip club?
Exactly. There's that element, too. Okay, Yellow Rose, because they probably have the best name of all. Yellow Rose, by the way, we're talking about reviews in the last podcast, and they're 4 out of 5 stars.
People like them some Yellow Rose.
Yellow Rose is getting better reviews than Batman versus Superman right now.
That's kind of sad, people.
I kind of want to go. Have you ever read, like, gone to Yelp and read, like, the random reviews, like, people that review Dairy Queen on the Yelp? Or Bill Miller's barbecue. It's the most random. It's like they're reviewing it like they're reviewing
like fine dining.
Like fine dining. Yeah. And then there's the people that review strip clubs.
Oh.
Which
goodness.
Is like then you're admitting you went, or the best would be someone that admits, like, does a review for a place like the Chicken Ranch in Nevada. Because then you're publicly admitting.
Are you saying, like, my quesalupa, the lettuce, wasn't quite up to par with my soft taco? What's the deal, Taco Bell? That's why I'm writing an angry Yelp review.
Exactly. Well, we were very displeased. We're giving you 1.5 stars, Taco Bell. Okay, so Yellow Rose, the other 33 reviews, they're 4.0 in there, so they're well-received strip club. All right, we're going to call them right now and see if we can get someone to do a Bum Rush movie review on Deadpool at the Yellow Rose. It'll be a door guy or like the money taker girl.
Yeah.
Answer the phone.
I'm gonna set up some candles tonight. Yeah. 35 set up for some Pinot Grigio. But oh, wait. I totally forgot to
call you up when I'm shaving my face. I'm gonna call you.
Thank you for calling Yellow Rose for speaking.
Hi. This is the Yellow Rose. Hi. Hello. This is Thunderpop. It's a new show on MTV.
Okay.
We're doing what we call Bum Rush movie reviews, where we call just businesses because we don't care what critics say about movies. We want to know what people in the street say about movies. So we thought you'd be perfect to ask because Deadpool. Did you see Deadpool?
No.
Did you see Batman versus Superman?
No.
Oh. Did you see? Okay. What's another movie that's been out recently? What movie have you seen recently?
It's been a while.
Did you see Gone with the Wind?
Red, you go. Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Not a long time.
Oh. See, throw another one at me. Give you another one.
Ghostbusters.
You see Ghostbusters? The original with Bill Murray?
Yes.
Okay. Give me a review on Ghostbusters.
Because the new one's coming out.
Yeah, the new one's coming out with the girls.
Okay.
So what do you think?
Can we do a review?
Yeah, on Ghostbusters.
I mean, we don't have...
From
just this, like, 2 sentences.
Yeah, 2-sentence review.
A 2-sentence review on Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not really good at this kind of stuff.
It was funny. It was
I'm the wrong person to ask.
Now, are you the money taker person at the front? When you go into the
store? Yes. I also do invoices. I do a lot of stuff. I have a lot of people I'm going to do, yes.
You're the bookkeeper. Admin there. So,
yeah, the admin, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, in Deadpool, the reason why we thought we'd call Yellow Rose is because in Deadpool, Deadpool's character... spoiler alert. I hope I'm not ruining the movie for you. Just a little spoiler alert. His girlfriend, he meets her at a fine gentleman's club.
Yeah.
And she's a exotic dancer, and so there was that element in the movie. And we thought, well, how accurate was that? Did they do their research for this movie? So we thought, well, we'll ask someone that works at an exotic men's club.
No, I haven't seen it. I was going to go see it. I haven't seen it yet.
It's really good. We both gave it an A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, awesome.
Uh-huh. Well, we're sorry to bother you. I know you're busy working.
No, you're okay.
I probably picked a
I'm
good time.
I'm not the right person to ask.
I probably picked a good time to call.
You're okay, thank you.
Hey, well, we'll have a great afternoon. Are you just starting your shift?
No, I'm in the middle of it.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope you get a breather, take a break. Don't work too hard. Are they?
I've got to see the movie. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great rest of shift.
Me too.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Man, that was Blockbuster segment, wasn't it? that was some fine podcasting, if I've ever seen it. We might win awards for that.
The fact that we're kind of a big deal.
Oh, shit. We were still hooked up with that. I think she might have heard us, overheard us talking about her. We weren't talking about her. We were talking about us. We're talking about the podcast. We're talking about the bit.
We're kind of a big deal, so.
Yeah. So.
It's like we're about to talk about Han Solo speaking of big deals.
Speaking of big deals. We're,
all that, right, big deal. Good,
great segue. Yes, we're going to talk some Han Solo. Oh, actually, I want to, that's because we're going to talk about leaks for episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, I'm going to start with that. I'm going to start with the Han Solo element on this. And we will be back. And we're back at the Thunderpop Dome.
Thunderpop
newly named Thunderpop with Johnny Lightfoot. I'm Stephen Presley. This is a Thunderpop podcast. I have lost track of what episode number it is. So by the next episode, I'll have remembered. We're somewhere in the 15 range.
There we go.
15, 16, somewhere in there. All right. So episode 8, leaks already on the web. Mm-hmm. And one of the more interesting things that's happened in the last few weeks, the DVD release is coming on. We were talking about this earlier. There's different versions of the DVD release, like Best Buy. You were explaining that
to me. Yeah, like Best Buy has their exclusive. Like they get the metal steelbook case.
Mm-hmm.
Target has their exclusive cover, and they've got extra content. Walmart's got theirs. So,
and we were trying to decide, what would be, which one would be for me or which one would be for you. So for me, extra footage, extra content gets me. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the way to Target, and that's the case. And I can also buy some paper towels and some underwear while I'm there. And then you got Best Buy, who's going to do the packaging, which is the
Kylo Ren like metal case.
And you were saying there's, for some people, that's their thing because metal case is the only way they go.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to
if there's a metal case available, there's some people who they'll go out of their way to go to a store that's not even in their city to get a steel book.
Steel book, yeah. And for you, you're kind of still torn on it because
I'm still still torn a little bit once I see what the content is at Target because I want to know what that 20 minutes is.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's something about like BB-8 chopping up oranges for 20 minutes. Nah.
Yeah. Some bullshit that we could have slapped together ourselves.
Exactly.
With the toys, could have made our own little version of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so Harrison Ford on the circuit promoting the DVD release. Back out there. Han Solo back. We thought he was done, but he's back.
Yep.
Interesting interview. You've seen this, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got to play this and we'll talk about
it. Our first guest tonight was recently certified by the U.S. Mint as the highest grossing actor in the history of the box office of the United States of America. He is here tonight to beef that total up. Star Wars The Force Awakens is out on digital HD on April 1st and DVD and Blu-ray April 5th with behind-the-scenes footage like this. Han and Chewie.
You know, Jimmy Kimmel, he's got that backdrop. Mm-hmm. With like the Hollywood sign and stuff and the sea skyline. I think just to play with people one night, to troll people, he should change the Hollywood to like my wood and just see how then the next day the web will go crazy with like, Jimmy Kimmel had my wood on his sign. It didn't say, didn't even make a mention of it. It'd be kind of fun.
Entering the Falcon.
Oh, this was great.
I turned around and there must have been 200 people standing behind me, all staring at the monitor, wanting to see Harrison come into the Millennium Falcon for the first time. That was a huge moment.
I would have peed myself just a little bit if I had been there.
To be there at that moment.
And you see J.J. Abrams, they're showing him, this is from the behind the scenes footage, it's going to be on the DVD. and they're showing the first time that Han Solo, Harrison Ford, is back in the Millennium Falcon in 30 years, officially. Yeah, so J.J. Abrams is sitting there, and he's just like, his hands are pressed together. They're at his, like, by his mouth, and it's like fanboy.
Yeah, you can tell he's a fan.
Yeah.
And camera, action.
Chewie, we're home.
I wonder if that was a one take and they had it.
That would be pretty cool if it was.
That was what they make you think from the
from the scene where really JJ had Harrison do it like 98 times.
Yeah. Is he notorious for having people do takes more than several times?
I don't think he is. I know like David Fincher.
Uh-huh.
He is notorious for doing multiple
several
takes. Even for something as simple, I remember it was in the documentary on him making Zodiac,
yeah,
where he had a shot of Jake Gyllenhaal reaching for some papers in the mm-hmm. passenger seat of a car. He had him do it like 93 times.
And that's, I mean, I've done acting, I guess you can call it acting, but I've done acting, and yeah, I've worked on the front of the other side of the camera as well. I guess you can call it working on the other side of the camera. But and you've done that, and
yeah,
and so you know, for an actor, that's got to be exhausting to do that. And then you say, do you lose your actors after a certain point if you're that type of director, that if you have an actor do a scene 93 or a shot 93 times, by the time you get moved on to the next scene and the next scene, are they just going to be kind of drained?
Right.
You know, I'll tell you one thing. That's when I'm on these like these energy shots like crazy as an actor, and for the director too, and for the crew. Yeah. Even more so for the crew, probably.
My first day of shooting my horror film, I think that first day I was doing that somewhat, like mm-hmm. 40 takes on certain shots. And yeah, it made everybody by the end of the night kind of frustrated.
I've always thought that you got about 5 takes. Your best take is usually not the first one. It's usually mm-hmm. not the last one. It's somewhere in the middle. It usually seems to be the...
Yeah, you go back and watch it when you can kind of side by side. And, mm-hmm. and then you're like, oh, crap, I actually got it on the fourth take.
Mm-hmm.
And I made him do 10 more.
Yeah, it always seems to me it's always been like the second, third, kind of in there. Because they have to get warmed up first on mm-hmm. the first one. But yeah, that would have been amazing if that was the first take.
Please welcome Harrison.
Have you ever been on a recording, taping of one of these like talk shows?
Mm-hmm. I was in Craig Ferguson.
Yeah.
Several years ago.
Mm-hmm. I actually saw him too.
Oh, you did?
No, I'll tell you what, I take that back. I saw Kilbourne that hosted the same show before Ferguson. The guy from the original Daily Show before mm-hmm. Jon Stewart was also Kilbourne. Mm-hmm. So we saw Kilbourne host, it was a late show.
The late show.
So yeah. It was in the same studio mm-hmm. in Hollywood. But yeah, so you saw Ferguson. Mm-hmm. Well, I love Ferguson. And I didn't really get an appreciation for Ferguson as a late-night talk show host until sort of later. So I missed him kind of and
yeah.
caught him kind of late. But I thought he was very witty. And his,
oh,
and,
yes.
And ultimately, I think a better interviewer than maybe like Jay Leno mm-hmm. and
he gives some meat.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought he was very good with the guest and just totally underrated.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yes, he saw that. So you know these audiences get pumped up to be louder.
Oh yeah.
And not they're not excited to see, you know, Harrison Ford come out and do the little like little pose and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, they always get them like kind of pumped up with the big sign that says
now,
applause loudly.
When you saw yours, was it also free?
Yes.
Because it basically they're trying to get as many people in there as possible.
They are. And these are like taped in the daytime. They're not mm-hmm. Everybody knows. Of course, Jimmy Kimmel Live, that could very well be live. I don't know. But I know like in the case of most of them, they're taped during the day.
Yeah,
at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and most people are at work.
And they, a lot of times, I think they don't even air until the next day.
Yeah,
so they can get some commercials for it out there.
Yeah, in some cases that happens. So it's in the middle of the day. It's and people that live in Hollywood, they don't give a shit about, they don't go to these shows. They don't go to these shows. So it's tourists. It ends up a lot of times being people are on vacation that they get in there. So people have been traveling. They've been going from visiting a steward. Like in my case, we went to one of the visits when I went to LA, went to Warner Brothers, went to see the Universal theme park. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I'm sure you were touring around seeing some things.
Yeah, we were in downtown LA.
Yeah, jumping. Like, hey. See the Man's Chinese Theater, and you see mm-hmm. the costume performers, the cosplay people over in front of Man's, and mm-hmm. some of them famous on their own right because mm-hmm. of the documentary that was made about them.
Hi there, Princess. Come on in. We do work on tips, okay?
Anyway, you're pretty tired and wiped out, and you go to these tapings. It's sort of a chance to maybe sit down on your ass for a little bit mm-hmm. and take a break. But then they get you. Well, they want you to get you when they want you. You're like suddenly an extra in a movie in a way. Mm-hmm. You got to be loud when they want you to be loud. You got to be perky when they want you to be perky. And rush the host.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not rush mm-hmm. the host. Well, that does happen on Oprah or like on Arsenio.
Ellen and
Jay
stuff
Leno.
Like that.
Yeah, they come down. Everyone just come down and give them a high five and applause.
I have to admit, I did get a little bit of, I got some chills when I saw that scene there. I know you probably scoff at that.
I got some chills when I saw that the door goes up.
Isn't
down.
It amazing?
Yeah.
It's just like space.
Not so much. Yeah.
You were here in October promoting Star Wars, and here you are again in March promoting Star Wars.
What the hell? I think it's quite clear that I've got nothing better to do.
What could be better than this? You told me last time you were here that you've been pushing for many years to have Han Solo killed off.
Oh.
And I don't want to...
And you mentioned this more than once. I know we've talked about this.
Spoil it for anybody. I hope at this point everyone who wants to see the movie has seen the movie, but you succeeded.
You know what sucks is if you were like... Did you ever heard of those the people that do those NASA like focus like survey like a medical where you donate your body to research
yeah. mm-hmm.
and you have to stay in a bed like laying in like a kind of a
little
tube thing mm-hmm. for like I guess a couple months like several weeks
they do it for a long time
and people do this that they want to make some money
yeah
in quick short amount of time make. They can make thousands. I think they pay like 10, was it 10, 20 grand?
Something like that.
It's something
it's
crazy.
Something big because you'd have to pay me a lot to get me to lay in a tube.
You literally lay in a tube and you stay there for several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to do that. I don't know if they're still doing these, mm-hmm. but I know because being in the film and acting world and a lot of friends that are artists, they were between jobs and they wanted to make some quick money. They would do these PPD pharmaco studies.
Oh, yeah.
Donate their bodies to science.
Yeah, or they do like the whatever the new test drug is.
Yeah. So, and I do focus groups, like mm-hmm. regular focus, like focus. I'm not mm-hmm. doing any of the, currently any of the, although a few years ago I did do one. Of course, I'm probably breaking my confidentiality uh-huh. agreement by saying this, but I did do one for hair restoration. I was trying to get my hair like yours. Johnny's got a pretty full head of hair. I'd say
it's a mess.
Yeah. So it had a reverse effect, and I actually grew like a big mop of hair on my asshole. So, which now has become an ongoing problem. I have to go.
That's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. Yeah. PPD. That's a hell of a drug.
You work for like 25 years.
Anyway, if you were in one of those NASA groups, so you didn't get to see Force Awakens, but you're a huge fan.
Uh-huh.
So you were like, as soon as I get out of this thing, I'm going to the theater to see Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still showing somewhere.
It's still showing at the mall.
At the Lake?
Like regular theater, like they still charging, you know, 10, 12 bucks.
Not surprising.
It's not at the discount theater.
That'll be the last stop.
It'll probably go there like...
May.
Yeah.
About around May, probably. It'd be for the discount theater, it's an early summer movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's when my parents will get to it. So there it was. if you got out of that NASA study and you're a huge Star Wars fan, even in a worse situation than your roommate, the UPS guy that had to wait just like a few days, like a week, because it was during Christmas.
Yeah.
So he was busy hustling for UPS. Yeah. And he finally, so he had to avoid spoilers. You get out of the NASA study, you get out of there, and you go to check your email, and then you decide to pop on YouTube for a second, and then this comes up and spoils them.
Spoils it in the actual title.
Yeah, in the title, before you'd open the video, Harrison Ford finally got them to kill Han Solo.
It's for the company.
Yeah.
You do your best.
Uh-huh.
You show up every day. You do your job.
Uh-huh.
And then they just let you go.
In this case, they actually killed you.
Shocking. Shocking.
When you saw
yourself... No, I argued for 30 years for this to happen.
Right.
And finally, I wore him down.
I guess you did. So you won't be in any of the other movies, or Han Solo won't be in any of the other movies?
Who said that?
I'm asking.
Who made you the boss?
Do you know? Nobody made me the boss. No one ever will make me the boss. But
do you think he said that to J.J. Abrams when he first stepped on the set to take over directing? That was the same line he got from Harrison Ford.
Probably.
Do you know if the character Han Solo will continue, or do you not know? It's a good question, right?
So there it is. So he reaches over to his mouth, does the zip and the throwaway and not telling signal. So I know you saw this.
Yep.
Is this Harrison Ford just kind of playing to the camera a little bit, having some fun with everybody?
I think it is.
Or is there something more here and he's trying to, like, you know?
Because that's the thing. Star Wars is notorious for not doing flashbacks.
Yeah, no.
So it'd be really tough.
And they did really the first flashback probably in the history of Star Wars and Force Awakens.
Right, and they found a clever way to do it.
And they did it in a clever way. It wasn't done in like a stereotypical like ho-hum way. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it'd be really tough. I mean, they're down to their final three for the new Han Solo. They're down to their final three actors. But I don't... Harrison's done. He's got Indy 5 coming up.
Yeah, which is amazing.
He'll be done with that.
I'm really glad they're doing Indy 5, only because so they can kind of redeem the last one. Again, the last one I didn't think was a bad movie, but I thought it had some issues.
Yeah, a lot of issues.
The CGI little chipmunk squirrels at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And the casting of his son.
Riding around, you know, swinging in trees with monkeys.
That was probably another low point of the more recent Indiana Jones.
Made him a greaser.
I did actually like the motorcycle and the greaser part. That part I didn't have a problem with.
I didn't have a problem with.
I thought the motorcycle was cool.
Greaser flying around with monkeys was a little...
That was a little bit weird. But I also thought the casting for his son didn't fit for me. It didn't work.
Means you either know... Well, interesting. I have no idea what to make of your answer.
So here's the thing. I'm going to play devil's advocate. We talked about Harrison Ford. You brought that up when we've talked about this, about how he's asked George Lucas over 30 years ago to kill him after...
And it made him really bitter.
After Empire, right? He wanted to be dead. He wanted to die in Empire.
And it's why he kind of phoned it in on Return of the Jedi. His acting isn't near as good in that one as the other two.
And George told him, which you'd said, that I can't sell dead Han Solo toys, is what we had discussed on here. And that's why he reneged on a promise that he'd made. He actually did tell him, I would do it, didn't he? And then he backed off on it, and he changed his mind because he said, I can't sell a dead Han Solo toy.
Can't sell a dead Han Solo.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, in those times, you didn't really kill off your major... You know, your major stars.
And George was right. Actually, he was right about that.
I mean, nowadays, it's a little more forgiving.
Yeah. You can take some shots like that.
Especially since he's not exactly in his prime anymore.
Yeah. Well, we got shows where they kill off entire cast of TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just restart up the next season with an explanation, and then they have different people.
Well, look what just happened in the movie that just came out 4 days ago they killed off.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
But Superman dies in Batman vs. Superman. And by the way, not to change the subject too far, but how do you think they bring back Superman? You have a theory on that already, or have you not gotten that far in? Are you still digesting and processing everything?
I want to say they're probably going to do it very similar to the way they did it not in the comics, because that was kind of weird, where he went into this hyper chamber, but how they did it in the DC animated movie Superman Doomsday, where he ended up coming back because his Kryptonian cells just needed to heal itself. And then what happened was, basically, once they found out he was alive, he still wasn't Superman yet, but he was at least had a heartbeat. They put him in like a little regeneration tank.
Kind of like what they were doing in the movie where Lex Luthor dips.
Basically, he gets put in like suspended animation, and I bet you he gets put in suspended animation, Darkseid comes, and then everybody's like, we need Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look. Up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
Yeah, so there's that. And do you think it's Justice League would be the next possible movie that Superman would appear in? One would think.
Yes.
Unless they come up with a clever way to have a cameo in a Wonder Woman movie.
No, I think this... And it's funny, I didn't think they were going to have the balls to do this with Superman.
So, interesting. Yep.
When you saw yourself or Han Solo die on screen...
Do you know...
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate on the Han Solo thing. He was begging to be killed for a long time, Harrison Ford. He said it here himself. He's joking about it. You said he dialed it. He basically phoned it in, kind of like the people we were just calling for our Bum Rush reviews. He had about as much excitement to be involved in what they were asking to be involved in as those people. So he was there. He did Return of the Jedi. But at that point, he... And I heard this. I don't know if we talked about it, but I know we talked about it somewhere where he had to go through 30 years of people asking him where, you know, what happened to Han Solo? Hey, Harrison, what happened to Han Solo? And people on the street.
And he hated it.
And he hated it. And he was like, if they had just killed me off like I had wanted, I wouldn't have had to hear whatever happened to Han Solo for 30 years. So finally, he comes back, Force Awakens, gets a huge deal to come back and do Force Awakens. I think it was, and that's what put him over the top now to make him like the highest grossing.
Like 25 million, and then also like he's getting residuals.
A percentage, so he could walk away with 40, 45, maybe $50 million on that
You're
move.
Going to have to pay me $1 million.
Which would make it probably also one of the biggest take-ins for a single actor in a single movie.
Well, why do you think he's on Kimmel promoting the
Blu-ray? I would be too if I got the percentages for that. I'd be there with the earring and the beard and you know, doing the, you know, the little pose and stuff. Anyway, he's there. But after all this, why would he want to egg people on with the potential now that he's going to get people started on the web and then people back over all over it again for till the next movie comes out? Is Han Solo coming back? Because that's what he's going to get now. And he's actually aiding the the crime. So what do you think? I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, isn't he kind of asking for it?
He's kind of asking for it, but he's using... I think he's using this more to sell discs and also keep his face relevant for Indiana Jones coming back. Because unless you're, you know, like... We're fans of movies, so we know Indiana Jones is coming back.
Yeah.
A normal everyday person probably won't know until a trailer.
Right.
Or they hear it on a talk show.
They hear it, but they don't know exactly what's happening. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
When you saw yourself or Han Solo die on screen...
You know, do you know how much money you can make selling reverse mortgages?
Is that right?
You have no idea. It's a gold mine.
Is that right?
It's a gold mine.
Explains Chuck Woolery's mansion. Anyway, the movie came out great. Were you surprised that the
came out good?
That it didn't get out? I did like it. Yeah. Were you surprised that the secret didn't get out? The death of Han.
It's pretty amazing, actually, that people sort of respected their fellow audience members to the extent that it didn't get around. I was
really
there was the one asshole though that got on social media that had been driving around an SUV, whatever city he was in, that the sign on the back of his car that said Han Solo dies. Did you ever see that picture? Yeah. I don't know what city he was in, but he was driving around like the next day with that on his back of his car.
I mean, it is pretty amazing.
I would have egged his car.
Like I was in the theater and every like person coming in and out was very respectful.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because you easily could have had just that one guy, you know, that comes out of the movie and he sees all the people waiting to, that haven't seen it.
A total meth head.
Mm-hmm. That did, and just does the dick move.
That did the meth while he was in the movie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Fantastic. I think people knew that they would actually get killed if they revealed the ending of the movie.
I think they knew that I would show up at their house and beat the out of them.
Thanks for...
That was great. He's made his great interview. So there we have that Harrison Ford interview. And now some leaks on the web. There's been some stuff that's already been posted. And you said, you know, one thing you want to be very cautious of is there's always a clickbait. Not clickbait. That's actually a baking.
Clickbait.
A click biscuit.
You think you get them from Stouffer's.
Yeah, you do. They're good. They're yummy. And they're ready in like 10 minutes in the oven. So, yeah, you got to get the leaks already. So one of the things I read was about one of the... So Laura Dern, in the cast in the new movie, along with Benicio Del Toro, one of the speculations is on Laura Dern is that she's going to be playing a part of the Resistance.
That's what I've also heard.
Higher-ranking officer. She would be...
kind of like a Mon Mothma.
Yeah. And here's the other thing now. There's been the leaks, according to people that claim that they're coming from a reliable source. Of course, it's just stuff I dial up on YouTube. But they're talking about that General Leia apparently gets injured in the war. Then they have a very small amount of resistance people left. Laura Dern has to take over with General Leia, you know,
being sidelined.
And that sort of plays on if they're trying to kind of work in a new cast and sort of work out, like we've talked about.
I get that, yeah.
That does play. So then the other thing is that there's going to be some resistance to Laura Dern's resistance, no pun intended, but pun certainly intended. But Laura Dern, Poe Dameron, have a clash.
Fuck off.
And I can see that because he's extremely loyal to Leia.
General Leia, as we saw in the last film. And then there's also some other people that have kind of a problem with the direction she's taking. They're on a ship through a portion of the movie with what they, at least Laura Dern's character, is leading everyone to believe is the last, maybe last bit of resistance people left after a big, huge, devastating loss against the new order.
The First Order.
Where they lost a lot of casualties. Poe Dameron sort of starts a coalition of people that decide that they want to take over. And Poe Dameron wants to take control back of the, you know, away from Laura Dern because they don't believe that, like, the way she's leading the resistance at the time of General Leia being out of order. There's apparently one of the other leaks has said that there's going to be a lot of droids on this ship, an unusual amount of droids. So what I take from that is maybe that they had to pull all their resources together in a small section. Also, a lot of very hairy aliens. A lot more aliens than actual humanoids on this ship. So anyway, some of the speculation is that Poe Dameron thinks there actually may be a lot more survivors of the Resistance than Laura Dern's character is kind of leading them to think, and that they need to maybe try to rescue, and she's wanting to know, just sort of count their, you know, cut their losses and sort of break free of the idea of trying to take a risk by going in for a rescue on some of these. So this is one of the leaks. The other one is that we would see, of course, training with Luke and Leia on this Ireland-like island that they're at, which is actually filmed at, I'm trying to remember the place, it's Skellig Island.
Skellig.
Amazing place. So they've been filming there and that seems to be actually pretty obvious after you see the end of Force Awakens where it leaves off, that there's going to be going into training Rey, Luke training Rey, and then also with Kylo Ren probably training with Snoke off somewhere where they're at. So there are some things. What do you think about with that information, those leaks? You could kind of maybe link up with some of that, line up with some of that?
Definitely some of like the Poe stuff, because I know they did say he's going to have a much larger role. He is going to kind of take over the being the more like the Han Solo, the kind of the swagger, kind of snarky.
had no idea we had the best pilot in the Resistance on board. Comfortable?
Not really.
I'm impressed. No one has been able to get out of you what you did with the map.
You might want to rethink your technique.
So I could definitely see him getting in some arguments, some little tussles. I know one thing I saw, they just completed filming in this one city, and I saw the photos, and it seems to me that this is probably going to be the first time we ever get introduced to like a middle class world in the galaxy of Star Wars. Just the look of it, because it doesn't look all beat down like Tatooine and Jakku,
which is the very third world version.
But it doesn't look grandiose like Coruscant and Naboo. It looks very middle class, and that's the first time we're going to see that in a Star Wars. They just wrapped shooting there,
which I very much would like to see, because like for you, like you said, we have not gotten to see that yet. So it'd be some, like a natural direction to give us a new look.
And I know they released an image of the worlds, and there's a few new ones. So that's probably one of them.
Again, another exciting thing that we would hope to see is some new worlds as we progress into the new Star Wars movies. Okay, so there is that. Some of the Poe Dameron stuff sounds pretty palatable.
Also, it's going to be the first film in out of all the Star Wars that starts right where the last one ended, as opposed to a few years having gone by.
Beautiful.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 8.
So it's literally gonna, like, it's gonna start, and literally Han Solo just, you know,
just died
a couple weeks ago.
Will we see a Han Solo burial? Maybe finally a ceremony that everybody thought we should have seen in Force Awakens?
That I don't know, because of how quickly it transitioned from Han Solo being dead, her hugging Rey, which we also wanted.
Well, they
to
didn't
go
have
into.
His body. Right. They didn't have a body.
Yeah, they didn't have a body. But it's they like did say there was also a shot that just got filmed where there's like a fire pit, and they said that takes place on Corellia, which is where Han Solo is from. So perhaps it's some sort of tribute by his, you know, home planet.
That would make sense.
For, you know, a hero that has just passed. So they might do some sort of just tribute to him. Because a lot of people don't realize, because it transitions so quick, for light speed isn't immediate. Like, as far as Rey and Chewie were going, they were probably in light speed for like a week. But yeah, I know it starts off right after.
And I don't know, you probably saw the teaser, which was actually more of a behind the scenes where they yell action and cut with Rian Johnson taking over the helm.
Filming day one.
They show Mark Hamill back on the island, and that's sort of exactly what it's doing. It's picking up right where they left off, and there's Mark Hamill, you know, just that. Probably one of the favorite scenes for many people in that movie was the ending where they see Luke Skywalker finally.
And it's funny, we actually see, I think, a few more seconds of Mark Hamill in that little promo, and then you see him in the whole Force Awakens movie.
Yeah, which is funny that they were.
So, Mark, this past year has been an amazing one for Star Wars. Not only did the fans help to make The Force Awakens a global success, they've also helped to raise over $10 million on behalf of Star Wars Force for Change to date. Mark's here to tell us what's happening with Force for Change in 2016. Mark?
Oh, I'm sorry, I have dialogue?
Yeah.
I'm used to just staring intensely.
But that was kind of a good way to kind of kick it off as far as giving us teasers on the web, was to show that, Luke is what you know, we're left with at the end, and we're giving you a little bit more of that because we know that's something that people wanted to see again.
And he'll be in the promotional material for this one since he's going to be in this one.
Absolutely. It's going to be him now swapped out where Harrison Ford, Han Solo was.
Before the movie, everybody was asking, JJ, where is Luke Skywalker? Where is Luke Skywalker? And then, like, after the movie, he's, you know, you would have been mad at me if I would have been teasing Luke Skywalker, and then in the movie, I only give you a minute, you would have been mad.
Yeah, and that, now that makes sense. That all makes sense when you see it in retrospect, why they would have done with the way they were doing it. So you think, based on what I told you, if there was some validity and truth to that, you think we see very little of Carrie Fisher in this?
I think so.
This version.
Because I think she, acting-wise, she was the weakest.
Do you think that's the only problem there is? There's a little bit of disconnect being that she's Kylo Ren's mom, because that's an important part of the family tree.
I mean, it could be to where if it is true that she suffers some sort of major injury, I would think Kylo would feel it through the Force.
Yeah.
And Snoke might get a little angry with that.
Yeah, so that could add some push along for the plot and the development of the story with Kylo Ren. And then, of course, also her being Luke Skywalker's sister.
You would think he would also sense it.
Mm-hmm. And then possibly a reunion between the two of them finally on screen, which we didn't get to see in the last one. You would think that would be inevitable. And where was Chewbacca after they had their Rey? You know, Chewbacca basically flew over to find Luke on the island. Mm-hmm. Where's Chewbacca when they're training? Does he go back to the Resistance? Or does he leave Rey there? Does he take the Millennium Falcon and head out?
I think it's possible R2 stays with them, and then Chewie flies off maybe to get Lando or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
All right, old buddy.
Give him the bad news.
Oh, do you think we see Billy Dee Williams finally reprise his role as Lando Calrissian? Maybe that would be a surprise.
I think so.
Yeah. At least in a... Because he's... I mean, Billy Dee Williams still involved in Star Wars.
I mean, he still does, like, the convention rounds. Mm-hmm. He was at the premiere.
And I know he wanted to come back because he... You know, when they were first announced the movie, things were starting to develop on the web. I mean, he was asked, you know, some of the TMZ people, you know, bum-rushed him coming out of a grocery store.
He gave the Billy Dee Williams smile and said something along the lines of, I don't know, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he wanted to do it.
Well, Freddie, I usually like to spend a quiet evening at home with a few friends in Colt 45.
Yeah, I can dig that.
And that's one of the few, like, main characters from the original trilogy that we haven't got to see.
We even got Admiral Akbar, Needham.
Yeah.
Who was his co-pilot, was Lando's co-pilot.
So. Yeah. We got to see quite a bit of some of the originals brought back, so he was one of the few we didn't get to see. But yeah, so what is Lando doing now? He was at one time the...
He was a general.
He had his own, like, city. And then he joined the... joined the Rebellion. I wonder where he would be now.
Could have gone back to the city, I guess. Cloud City.
Maybe. Yeah, did he still have Cloud City? Was Cloud City still there when he was... Lobot was kind of running the show?
Yeah, Lobot was just running the show in his absence. I don't know.
Cloud City could be fun to see again.
Yeah.
I would like to see that with... Maybe now they've got, like, a nightclub with some EDM music, and DJ.
All those little munchkin people are in there just rocking out.
Lobot has a night job running DJ.
He's the DJ.
Yeah, he's got those little things he can use as his headphones that he wears on the side of his head. Now, Lobot would be a fun cosplay costume because nobody does Lobot. I mean, not very many people do Lobot, but he's a cool...
Just cool look.
It's a cool look, yeah. Yeah. Do you have any Lobot action figures?
I have one... like old one from the 90s somewhere in a box.
What if we'd see Lobot again, the actor that played Lobot? I wonder if he's still around.
See, I don't know that they could bring him back though, because he was an android, so he wouldn't age.
They would have to use some heavy makeup or CGI. If they really want to do it, they could figure out a way to do it. So interesting. So now JJ Abrams was at South by Southwest. They brought an X-Wing fighter. They landed down by Lady Bird Lake. And they had some droids in town. I wouldn't be surprised if BB-8 wasn't rolling around skipping the line at Franklin's Barbecue.
Yeah. It's fun. They won't let Kanye skip, but I bet you they let BB-8 skip.
Yeah. They let him, you know, or actually he doesn't skip, but he'll roll. Roll past people in line. But he's one person that probably could roll past everybody in line and everybody would not get mad. And I get pissed. They wouldn't try to kick him away like a soccer ball.
No.
Bend it like Beckham.
Yeah.
Bend BB-8.
Bend BB-8.
Yeah. He didn't get kicked in the Force Awakens, did he? Did anybody kick him?
No. I think he just got banged. He just kind of banged around in the ship when they were doing the escape.
Yeah.
And then finally he got wise and did his little rope.
Yes.
Attachments.
Yes. He was kind of the, like Gal Gadot. Like Gal Gadot. Is it Gal Gadot?
Gal Gadot.
Wonder Woman. Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. who I feel like was like one of the breakout stars of the new Batman
Absolutely
versus Robin.
I agree.
I think BB-8 was the breakout star of Force Awakens. One
he
of the
definitely
breakouts.
Was.
Kind of, yeah. A lot of buzz in there. So J.J. Abrams is there.
Hi, I'm J.J. Abrams.
He comes out, and he, South by Southwest, he screened the documentary. A few people got to see. He did, I think he might have been a panel Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about the one thing I brought up right after our reaction show that was one of the few things that, this is a movie I gave an A. Mm-hmm. Love this movie. I don't understand people that didn't like this movie. There were a few, it was a minority though, in the people that didn't, or they were, nobody hated the movie.
No.
Even the people that didn't think it was perfect, they were still
just indifferent.
Yeah, like, they were just,
it was okay.
It was like an A minus.
Yeah.
At the worst case. But so anyway, he talked about, he brought this up because this sort of has started being brought up by other people with Chewbacca.
Fans of Star Wars have given the latest installment, The Force Awakens, incredible praise worldwide. But one thing that seems to puzzle them is why in one of the final scenes of the movie...
This guy sounds about as excited as the people that we were calling and doing the Bum Rush reviews.
Yeah.
It's kind of like NPR doing Star Wars.
Yeah, he's a chill dude.
Yeah.
The movie Leia goes to hug Rey instead of Chewbacca. J.J. Abrams was kind enough to provide an answer for that and a reason...
I wish he would just like slip in like a little subliminal message in the middle of his reading of like of the story. It's like, and then I took my wiener and I put it in the hull of a fire extinguisher. And then Rey went to the Tatooine.
Interview stating, my thinking at the time was that Chewbacca, despite the pain he was feeling, was focused on trying to save Finn and getting him taken care of. So I tried to have Chewbacca go off with him and focus on Rey, and then have Rey find Leia and Leia find Rey. The idea being that both of them being strong with...
Maybe kind of a tongue twister. Leia found Rey, and Rey found Leia, and then...
they found each other.
They found each other, and then Chewie found Lobot. Lobot found Lando. That could be like a riddle.
The Force, and never having met, would know about each other. That Leia would have been told about her beyond what we saw on screen, and Rey, of course, would have learned about Leia.
Okay, so basically they're talking about, and his explanation of, because people were, there was, they did sort of take off where people were having the same kind of feeling I did, that when they returned back to the Resistance camp, they get off the Millennium Falcon, Chewbacca sort of appears to get the brush off
Rey.
By Leia.
Yeah, she goes straight to Rey.
It's Rey, which is somebody she barely met.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel like Chewbacca, once again, like he did in The New Hope, where he got kind of the brush off at the award ceremony and didn't get a badge or a medal, mm-hmm. like Han and Luke. He's standing off kind of to the side awkwardly, not getting his medal. And then here he doesn't get sort of his sympathy, acknowledgement, and hug after Han Solo dies from Leia. So that was kind of thing. But he explains that. He's saying, well, he would have been attending to Finn, who had just injured.
He would have been more concerned with that than hugging Leia.
We talked about, of course, I know one of the things you had speculation on is how Benicio del Toro is going to be used in Force Awakens, where it's going to end, the movie ends with sort of a three-way, maybe a four-way battle.
Right.
With Luke, Rey, Kylo Ren, the Benicio del Toro character that you speculate could be a full Darth.
Right.
Sith Lord. And then
Snoke off to the side.
Off to the side. Watching. Kind of watching and probably affecting in some way battle when need be. Much like the Emperor did when Luke and Darth fought in Return of the Jedi, possibly. So there could be this big epic battle, and that could be... You still kind of apply to that as your theory?
That's still what I believe.
On an epic finale for this movie? Yeah. So there's that. And any other things you have, the new theories that you've evolved for Episode 8?
I mean, I do think in that fight, Rey loses.
Mm-hmm.
I think her and Luke lose.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stoke steps in at some point, and
you think Luke and Rey lose
to the Darksiders,
which is very like second episode in a three-part chapter to happen. That the good
and
guys
I think,
will
like,
lose.
Maybe they get out by the skin of their teeth, and you're left kind of wondering: is either one of them severely injured or?
And
dead?
You thought Luke could die in the second one.
He could die in the second one. I think he might have more of a...
But Mark Hamill's not looking to get out the door like Harrison Ford.
No. I think they might save that for 9.
Mm-hmm.
And have him go out more like Yoda.
Yeah.
Just kind of it's my time.
Uh-huh. Kind of that. And getting some licks in before he does. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he gets injured at the end of 8, but not killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically because of, due to those injuries, his health declines to a certain point where he can still help Ray, but then maybe eventually he's like, it's time to disappear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's gone in 8.
You don't think he has to stay around and repopulate the Jedi Council for the future?
I mean, he could, possibly. It depends on how soon they're planning on doing 10, 11, 12.
A sequel to the sequels, mm-hmm. which would at one point probably was not in the original plans, but now the original plans have changed because it's a
cash cow.
It's a cash cow. It's Disney's long haul now. They're in for the long haul.
Once it got over a billion, not including all of the merchandise we mm-hmm. talked about at length.
We could see old Daisy Ridley still playing Rey years from
now. We could see in 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
You know, 50-year-old
Rey. People are still going.
Mm-hmm.
See those. I mean, otherwise, if they start to get, interest starts to dwindle, they'll take a break. They'll take, 8 to 10 year off break.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe do some animated series.
Yeah. Some Netflix.
Netflix. And then they'll come back and figure out a different angle.
Because, yeah, as of right now, I don't see them slowing down at any point.
Well, there's so many different ways you can go. I mean, you could even start to take different looks at a different... Because you've been following the Skywalkers
mm-hmm.
through the entire, series.
Now, I do think, they're going to stick with the numbers being tied at least somewhat to the Skywalkers.
So you don't think that'll go away? You don't think it'll be a new, family, a new new angle?
Not with the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, they might make a Skywalker a secondary character.
Yeah.
If
they really feel like they need to refresh things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know Kathleen Kennedy came out and said they've got, 10 movies on the slate right now.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's like Marvel. And, what DC is working towards.
Yeah.
Is trying to get... of course, they're also trying to make 3 movies in 1, Batman versus Superman. Putting multiple movies in 1 movie. We talked about, and we were taking a break earlier. And by the way, we're going to do an unboxing before we close up the show.
All right.
I'm going to do Johnny Lightfoot does a lot of unboxings on his YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Boy Wonder Broadcast.
All right.
I was going to say Bad Boy Broadcast, which is actually my friend, who's a radio disc jockey.
Really?
In San Antonio, and he's Bad Boy Broadcast. And his
Boy
on
Wonder.
On his, he used to do hip hop station. Now he's on a Tejana station. So it's like Chingon, Chingon ass, or Chingon badass, or something like that. But anyway, yeah, he's a Bad Boy Broadcast. But anyway, Boy Wonder Broadcast, he does unboxings
mm-hmm.
and unpackagings. So of action figures mm-hmm. and memorabilia. So we're going to do an unpackaging of sorts here shortly in a little bit.
All right.
Kind of scared. I think Johnny's a little nervous.
We'll see.
See what I've got up my sleeve. But anyway, so I have lost my train of thought talking in circles. Oh, yeah. I said that they should have split Batman vs. Superman into 2 and made it Batman vs. Superman 1, Batman vs. then Dawn of Justice could have been 2 mm-hmm. because I think they tried to, and we agreed, they tried to fit too much into one movie. It's already an ambitious enough movie as is.
Yes.
The undertaking is something that most people wouldn't have the cojones to do. So I give props to Zack Snyder for having the balls to take it on. But at the same time, it was probably they probably should have negotiated.
They went to Golden Corral and they took way too much off that buffet line.
That's what happened. They took way too much. I've done that before too. So I know I've had my own version of that.
And you just stare at your plate and you go, really shouldn't have gotten this much.
If you're eating too much late in the evening and you just can't go to sleep after that, you're mm-hmm. laying in bed. No, there's the right amount of eating.
Cookie! Nom, 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 oh, nom, 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 nom.
Yep.
Like late. Like I've had also a plate of pancakes and it was like the best thing ever. It almost worked as a sedative. That worked.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome for going to sleep.
There are times at work, you go on an hour lunch and you're just sitting in there and you mm-hmm. just eat a bunch of food.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's time to clock back in, you're just like, ooh.
And there's no careless whisper after that.
No. It's really hard to get people engaged with careless whisper when you feel like you need a nap.
Yeah, exactly. If you saw the last episode, you saw Johnny's new sales technique.
Yes.
He sings to the ladies Careless Whisper from Deadpool. Gives him a little George Michael swooning to sell the Bluetooth speakers.
Yep.
serenading. That'd be the word, serenading. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So I feel like you. I don't even know why I got to that, but yeah, they fit too much in one movie there with Superman versus Batman. All right, when we come back, we got agree or disagree for that rear end.
Booyah.
A little careless whisper for that bootay. Johnny Lightfoot, are you ready for some agree or disagree?
I'm ready.
We're going to do it. Be right back.
The shit is getting real. Oh yes, things getting serious. Dude, did you hear what I said? The shit just
And we're back. Real. Yeah. A little agree or disagree. Recently, we have seen a lot of the 90s comebacks in pop culture. Doc Martens, flannel shirts, and the TV show reboots. Mm-hmm. Is rollerblading the next 90s thing to blow up on the scene once again?
It's a great thrill to have a world champion in our midst. He is only 20 years of age. He collects underwear, but that's not what he's world champion at. Chris Edwards!
All right!
Put him there, Chris. Oh, hey, how are you doing? It's nice to have you. Now, you are a bit jet lagged, but you're not going to let that slow you down
here. Of course not.
We are talking about the sport of inline skating.
Very good, very good.
Yes, because most people would call it...
Rollerblading.
Rollerblading.
Agree or disagree?
I'm going to disagree. Simply because with the way kids are today, I'll just see it in the complex where I live, all the kids rolling around on their hoverboards and their little motorized scooters. Mm-hmm. It's not like back in my day where we actually had to put some physical work into our play. So I'm going to have to disagree.
Mm. Number two, all possible shortcomings, if there were shortcomings in Superman versus Batman.
Do you bleed? You will.
Are likely to blame on studio execs meddling more than Zack Snyder. We may have already answered this earlier. Agree or disagree?
I'm going to agree on that one. I think when you ask a director and an editor to remove 1/6 of their movie... there's no way you can remove 1/6 of anything and not notice that there's something missing.
Mm-hmm.
If I cut up a pizza into 6 pieces and somebody takes it, I can tell somebody took it.
Yeah. So. And you know, David Brenner, who was the editor, mm-hmm. he really took a beating on the reviews because people started saying, oh, editing was shit in this movie. That was what killed it for me was the edit. And you can make or break a movie in editing. We know that. But... then you go look at David Brenner's IMDb page, and you see this is a guy that's Academy Award nominated.
He knows how to cut a film.
He knows how to cut a film. He's cut Born on the 4th of July, Independence Day, Man of Steel. So other movies, substantial movies, not just lightweight movies that he's been the editor on. He's got a long list of movies dating back from the 90s onward that he's been part of the editing team on. So not a lightweight here.
No. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And then, you come in with the information that they had to cut, over 30 minutes of movie?
Mm-hmm.
And in a movie that's already having to do and cover so much that requires some storytelling and some build-up and some lead-up there, then you wonder, well, what did they have to compromise and skip around on that could have maybe impacted the overall product of the film?
Yeah.
Where did they end up falling on the time on the movie?
2 hours and 31 minutes.
Yeah. Was Man of Steel in the same... It was a little longer, wasn't it?
No, it was actually a tad bit shorter. I want to say it was like 2 hours and 16 minutes or 17 minutes or something like that.
Which is why I think the perfect compromise would have been to split that movie in half.
Yeah.
They already had the footage. And they could have shot a few more scenes to probably piece it together.
Mm-hmm.
There's already a lot going on. So I think it would have been the solution to the problem. All right. Number three. The internet is buzzing about the interview where Ben Affleck is appearing sad. We talked about this in the last episode. The internet is buzzing about the interview where Ben Affleck is appearing sad and having a little to say on the heels of a negative Superman versus Batman reviews. Is he having flashbacks to Daredevil and starting to fear a similar freefall? Agree or disagree?
I'm gonna disagree on that one. I think he's tired. I think he's been having to be doing on the press tour.
Mm-hmm.
He's also been doing a lot of the charity work. you know, where he's going around in the Batmobile doing stuff.
Oh, he was doing that. He's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he was doing a lot of stuff where he was going. Him and Cavill were both out there doing a lot of. I can't remember the exact foundation it was for.
Yeah.
But it was for the kids. And
they've been working.
So and then you couple that with having just shot a very brutal movie where you had to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked out a lot to get that big.
And he just wants to get home to Matt Damon.
Yeah, he just wants to get home to Matt Damon. So I'm going to disagree. I think he's just run down. And he feels like... And I know he came out and said he likes the 3-hour cut better.
Oh, so he's... Ben said this.
Yes, but he said he's glad that they cut it down because that got it from an R to a PG-13.
Mm.
And he said he wanted his kids to be able to go see it.
That's interesting. R, Batman vs. Superman.
But yeah, the 3-hour cut got the MPAA gave it an R.
Interesting. More violence, I'm assuming.
And it's strictly the violence.
Uh-huh. And not a nude sex scene with Wonder Woman.
He said there's more stuff with like the terrorists.
Oh, okay.
And then there's more in the nightmare Batman scene.
Some of the stuff that was already a little bit... You were saying there's a kid that asked to leave early, and when you saw the second movie, or you saw the second screening, there was a kid asking, he got scared, told his parents he wanted to leave early.
Daddy, I'm scared.
What are you scared of?
Your face.
So, yeah, I could imagine that a 3-hour was probably would be even more brutal for a young kid. So.
Interesting. Yeah.
But Ben did say he prefers the longer version.
Overall, yeah. Number 4 on the agree or disagree, moving down the road. Netflix was so pleased with audience response to the new Pee-wee Herman movie.
I meant to do that.
That they will ink a multi-project deal with Paul Reubens that won't necessarily have to be more Pee-wee Herman projects, meaning they would be happy to have just Paul Reubens projects. Agree or disagree?
I can agree, because off the top of my head, the only thing I can think of that has gotten poor press that Netflix has done is that Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, the Hateful Eight.
Yeah, whatever it was, but...
Or the much-hated 8.
Something like that. And but everything else Netflix does, everything that I've watched from Netflix, is golden. So yeah. Netflix can do no wrong.
They seem to not really... I mean, even Fuller House, it didn't necessarily get critical acclaim, but when has Full House been a critically acclaimed show to begin with?
I mean, people watched it.
It got audience, and it got picked up for a second season, so it's getting it's tracking well.
I watched a couple episodes. They weren't bad.
Ah, you watched it. You watched it.
They weren't bad.
I asked him some Full House question on Agree or Disagree one day, and he was like, oh, come on, man. I don't want to talk about Full... And he was like, he watched it.
It's because I saw what Stephanie Tanner looks like now.
Oh, man, Stephanie Tanner.
She grew up.
And it is so rude.
Yes.
How rude indeed.
She's worth the cost of admission alone.
Yeah, you're very right, man. She is. Now she's doing Dance with the Stars.
I did not know that.
The actress, that plays Stephanie Tanner. And there was a whole thing with Miley Cyrus. Because, you know, she was in drugs.
She was big into drugs.
From like 2 days after the original show ended,
up
until like 5 years ago, she was in drugs. And she's been sober now, I think, for 5 years. Married 3 times?
Something like that.
Yeah. But Miley Cyrus posts a picture and hashtags it Fuller House. But it's a picture of not so appealing... portrayal of her during her parting days, and then she just put that picture and just posted a hashtag Fuller House.
Ooh.
kind of a little catty jab at her, I think. But anyway, she got criticized a lot on the web. Miley Cyrus is like the person that will take catty jabs at people on social media, and then like when the person blows up on him and brings the wrath of like Batman onto them.
And that you don't want that.
Yeah, the wrath of Batman you saw him bring onto Superman in Batman versus Superman. But anyway, they bring that on, then all of a sudden she just plays coy. It's like, what? I didn't mean anything by it. I'm like, all right, come on.
All right.
Okay, we got some thoughts and advice. Un momento. And we got my dog barking off to the side of the house because the weather's nice, so I put him outside so he would give us some time to record our podcast. It wouldn't be jumping all over us. All right, we'll be right back. The milkman, the paper boy, the evening TV. Okay, normally this would be about the time that we would have thoughts and advice for your day. Today we're going to do something slightly different. It's kind of like a thoughts and advice, but call it something else, actually. We're talking about doing an unpackaging.
All right.
Of sorts. I was wanting to try this. I saw this at the store before we recorded today. It's blue corn popcorn. I've never tried
it. Interesting.
Never tried this. So this is not quite like unboxing Kylo Ren, new Black Series.
Same idea, though.
But, okay. So let's see. There's a lot of air. I'm going to do the same thing like you do. You analyze it. A lot of air at the top of the bag, which I'm not a big fan of.
Oh, yeah. Because you never... You always see that with, like, Doritos.
Yeah.
Where you open it up and the chips are all... They're just not even halfway up the bag.
Four at the bottom and then some crusty crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a lot of air at the top. I'm not a big fan of that. This is the Sinfully Thin, enlarged to show hugeness.
Oh.
Which, by the way, always pops up whenever you go on the UJIZ website. There's an ad for enlarged to show hugeness. Not that I'm ever on UJIZ website. I don't even know anything, but I just heard about it from my neighbor.
Oh.
Yeah. So here, 40 calories per cup, and it's nut-free.
Nut-free.
But not
so nut allergy folks.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. It's with sea salt. It says nothing artificial. It is non-GMO. It's gluten-free. It's a good source of fiber. 20 grams of whole grain. It's a blue bag. It's blue and white. Kind of nice packaging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's, you know, nice.
Now, this is what I was... I thought when I bought this, I thought the actual popcorn, instead of white, would be all blue. But it's actually the seed, the popcorn seed that's blue. Because I'm looking at the packaging here. Why so blue? Blue corn is just better. The strain is the tender. That's what she said. And slightly sweeter alternative to regular popcorn. It fills you up with more protein and less starch than other colors of corn. Huh, that's pretty corny. No pun intended.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, we're opening it up. Oh, it opens up really well. Have you ever had those chips where you're trying to open them from the side?
Yep, and then it just won't go, so you put a little too much into it.
You put a little bit of, like, mustard in it, and then you start to pull it, and then it gets everything goes everywhere.
Yep.
All the chips are all over the floor. And this one opens up really nicely. Okay. Oh! Ah, it's split to the side, though. When you open it...
Yeah, it opened a little too nice.
It opened a little bit too nice, so it put a little big slit on the side.
I like the salt.
Mm-hmm.
It's good salt.
Mm-hmm. Mm. No.
It's all right. It's very dense compared to like your regular popcorn feels a little more airy.
Yeah.
These, like as you bite into it, you feel like there's kind of more, like it's just dense.
Yeah, I like the density of it. I think that's where it comes in, where it doesn't leave you, where you feel as empty when you want, like, keep wanting to eat more and more. But flavor-wise, I've had better. Especially when you get into the sea salt competition of popcorn. But I would try it again. It may be something that has to be worked up to a new
You wouldn't put it in your regular regimen, though? Just every now and then, maybe?
Well, they've got a Jamaican jerk chicken flavor of this.
That would be interesting.
I'd go back for another bag just to try that, because I love anything with Jamaican jerk flavor.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with that, just the right amount of sweet and little right amount of heat.
Yeah. Super Pop. I'm curious what Super Pop is about, because you know we're Thunder Pop. So there's a flavor called Super Pop. Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. All right. I want to thank Johnny Lightfoot. I want to thank everybody. Just want to thank everybody. And I'll tell you what, you have a wonderful day, hour, minute, month, year, century, decade.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Thank you. Donald Carey, and these are the days of our lives.
Yeah, whatever he said, that'll work. Everyone have a good one.
I lied.
Thunderpop, 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 oh, Thunderpop.
So long. See you later. Huh? Beat it. Hit the bricks. Hit the bricks.
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.